Well, let's try it again. How's that? Look, look. Shane, aren't you proud of your father-in-law? We had technical difficulties last week, but we're on it today. Excuse me, have I changed venue? Welcome. I'm Bruce Leonard, one of your elders. The rest are out lost in the woods. We did have a great time. I came back last night. I was there since Thursday, and it was really a blessing. I can tell you that Friday night we did testimonies around the fire for a couple hours. It was really moving to hear the testimonies of the men. And we spent another 2-3 hours yesterday morning in some stuff we're going to talk about today, actually, because I wanted to make sure they had a taste of what was going on. So God blessed us. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time together as you've brought each one here for a reason, Lord, and we are here gathered in your name to learn, to seek you more, to understand more of your word and have a heart more for you, Lord. Just be with each one here. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to you as you do your work. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to Colossians. Again, it's his providence that we are even in this book, because this was talked about months and months ago, and that we would be in this section of Scripture at this time is, again, part of his providence. Colossians 3, we're going to do, I'm going to start from verse 12, Colossians 3, verse 12, but we're only really going to work on today 15 through 17. Because last week we did the character of a new man, and today we're doing the character of a new man 2. You know, so you know how sequels are. This is going to be even better. Okay, Colossians 3, starting verse 12. So those who have been chosen of God, who would that be? Us. Holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. This is where we stopped last week. And so we're picking up here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So we're going to finish up the character of the new man. Remember chapter 3, part of chapter 2 talks about who we are in Christ. Who he is first in chapter 2, and then who we are in Christ. We went over that last week. We went over the list. Remember the list? Yeah. Or what kind of behavior or attitude that God expects in response to who he is, meaning how he's working in you and me. And who we are in Christ Jesus. The new man. That's the title of this chapter. The new man or woman. It's okay. And how we have a renewed spirit. a renewed spirit. The old has gone away, the new has come. Or has it? That's the question. Remember, we were chosen, we were holy in Christ, beloved, and we are to put on a Christ-like manner, a supernatural heart of compassion, a Holy Spirit kindness, a Christ-like gentleness, a God-like patience, bearing with one another, forgiving as Christ has, and beyond all that, remember, I added to it, no, I didn't, God did, beyond all that you're doing, put on love. That's God's love for everyone. For what purpose? For them to see and feel God in you and me. So, let's start in 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ. Where does that come from? Well, if you were called, then you have salvation, so you are at peace in what? I have peace in Christ as my Savior. I have peace in Christ as I can rest in Him. I have the security in Him. And I have eternal peace. I have harmony with God. I am at peace with Him. I am not struggling. We're looking at Jacob, who had to wrestle with God before God really got his attention and turned him from Jacob to Israel. That's in Genesis, a little plug for Genesis, life studies, 9:30. Be there, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, let's see what we can do here. Hello, I said what we can do. There we go. The Philippians 4:7, you've got lists there, and I'll be going through that, and we have quite a list today, do we not? Because God's Word is full of direction, commandments, and understanding of what He wants from us. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not in you, not in me, but in Christ Jesus we have peace. Think about that. To have peace with God Almighty. What a blessing. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I don't have much. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm not going here. I'm not doing that. But I have peace with God. We're going to talk about that a little more. So let that peace of God rule in your lives. Now, what's that say? What does that mean, rule? We're back to 15. It means being your governing conduct, meaning what guides you. Let it be the rule of who I am. Because of my knowledge, I'm going to follow these rules. This is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to be. It's prescribing what is possible or even allowable from God's eyes. Let it rule in my life. Be in control. Not me. Let the peace of God and the Holy Spirit rule in my life. And what's it going to do? It's going to guard my heart and my mind. Again, we're looking at God's ruling in my spirit. Okay? You have died with Christ. He has set you free from your spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep following the rules of this world? Why do we allow our lives to follow or prescribe what's going on in the culture when we should be, we can be, we will be ruled by Christ and who He is and how He works? Now, it says, let it rule in your hearts. And I've talked, in our teaching before, we've talked about this. What he says, our hearts and our what we really talk about is our mind. Now, back in that day, they always talked about the heart. Oh, everything is in my heart. They didn't understand what a brain was. They didn't understand where the workings of your body really were. But they knew the heart, because they knew in their battle, they could get hit in the head and go, ooh. But if they got punctured or hit in the heart, they were dead. Do you understand? So when they put this into phrases of understanding, it's all about the heart. It's all about let it rule in your heart. What they're really saying is in your mind. We understand that now. But at that time, it was your heart, because that was the center of man. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we are called in one body, right? Where are we at here? Ephesians 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you've also been called in one hope, and the calling of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. That includes all. Oh, good. Yeah, good, good. Again, this is God. These are common verses, but I want you to look deeper at these, because as Christ works in you and me, there's a supernatural. Remember, we talked about it last week. The power of God, the power and wonder of God that can be seen in you and me. Going, me? You? Because we are responding from a Christ-like manner. Christ is ruling in our lives, in our heart or our mind. Are you with me? We sung the songs. Now, are you paying attention? Remember last week I challenged you. And what was one of the songs we sung today? Be thou my vision, Lord of my life. The one who is doing the work. Is he Lord of your life? Again, we don't just sing the songs. There's meaning. You need to personalize it. I personalize it. I am blessed to do worship. So I start sometimes Sunday afternoon, looking at what's next for next week. Then I get to do it Monday and Tuesday, practice it on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And when I come on Sunday morning, guess what? I'm ready. Are you? Are you ready to worship? Or did you just barely get your shoes and coat on and you were late on top of that? Let alone, did you have a spiritual attitude of worship when you got here? I hope you did. As members of one body in Christ, one, that means all of us in one. So do you understand when we put our lives on hold and we look to Christ and we gather in Christ's name, we are one. No division. No struggle, no argument. We are one because we put our eyes and our heart and our minds on Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, if you're going to do that, then you need to be thankful. Called in one body and be thankful. Pleased. Even relieved. Expressing gratitude to God. Your gratitude is your attitude. I'm serious. I know it's funny, but my kids and wife, they'll tell you, attitude is everything. And it, no matter what your circumstances, attitude is everything. Am I going to respond in a Christ-like manner? Am I going to honor Him in what I say and do? We're going to get to that. Be careful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Hello? Anything or everything? Does that say, when everything is good, give thanks? It doesn't say that. In everything, give thanks. Remember? We already have Christ. We have the peace of Christ. We have the eternal peace. We have everything above. This is the problem. We look too much and we forget what we've already learned. We're not experiencing all that was above. And beyond all this, everything that's above. Be thankful and let the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Amen. I speak Jesus. Because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? Did you just sing that? Did you mean it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is God? Yes. You want to know God? You want to see God? Here it is. Here He is. The full, complete book. The whole version. We are so blessed to have the beginning and the end right here to hold in our grubby little hands. What a blessing. You read about the saints. You read about the history and Jeremiah and all the stories of this. They didn't have this. They didn't have the complete. We got the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. I love that little acronym. Because the Word is God. Do you ever open up and say, God, what do you got for me today? Oh, I see God in here. Do you? Let the word, what? Richly dwell within you. Back to Colossians 15:16 now. Richly dwell within you. Richly, elaborately, generously, plentiful. That's what richly means. Doesn't mean that the diet version. It means deep, dive deep into the word and dwell on it. Think deeply. Linger on. Dwell. Remain in place. In my heart. Oh, mind. Your heart. Your mind. That's what they're talking. Inside my thoughts. Let's see. Go. Ephesians 3. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, what happened? Uh-oh. Did we change? Let's go back. Something happened. I must have timed out. There you go. that he would grant you according to the riches, we just talked about that richly dwelling, of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit, not because what I know, in the inner self, that's you and me, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted, grounded in love, Christ's love, you may be able to comprehend, think this through, with all the saints, that's you, what is the width, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses my knowledge. How about yours? Remember the blowing my mind? That you may be filled to all the fullness of God. You and I be filled. Some of you are on half empty. We need to be filled with God in our hearts, our minds, our hearts, minds. Get that connection. Filled with him in our minds, in our hearts, so we can overflow into others' lives. Amen. So we're going to be richly dwelling in the Word, which the Word is Christ, and the Word was Christ, and it is Christ. We're richly dwelling within me with all wisdom. What? What's the matter here? I'm doing everything I can. Sorry. I don't know what's going on. All right. With all wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Knowledge. Good judgment. Soundness of action. Maybe even experience. Let's think about this. Wisdom. That's what we want. I want to make a wise decision. I want to do what God wants me to do. And James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, I'm one, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously, without reproach. He's not going to, why didn't you know that? Why don't you understand that? I'm still learning, God. I tell you, I'm a child of God. A child of God at 70, and without reproach, it will be given to me because I am his child. He's a good, good father. Amen? It's who you are. It's who you are. And I need you. That's who I am. That's who I am. Right? With all wisdom, we're going to work with one another, doing what? Teaching. Which we're doing right now. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I could be a scribe, you could call me a pastor, and that's fine, but his teaching is what we're looking for. Okay, not my opinion, not my way, but Apple TV's way. I don't know. Does anybody have a clue on what's going on here? We've been having trouble with our overheads, by the way. Okay? They were amazed at his teaching. Not mine, not those, but his teaching. Because why? Because it's taught with authority. The Lord has the truth. Thank you very much. And we need to pay attention to it. What are we going to do with that? After we have that wisdom, after we have richly dwelled in his word, we're going to teach and we're going to admonish. What's admonishing? Well, it's giving you a warning, maybe. Maybe a reprimand. Maybe some advice. or from my point of view today, urging you earnestly to think about this. I'm urging you, I'm appealing to you that this sinks in, that this is an understanding, that something's going to change. We proclaim him, admonishing every person, teaching every person with all, what? Wisdom, so that we may present you, every person, complete in Christ. That's a pastor's job. How long is that going to take? I've got another appointment. It's going to take forever. All my life, I am a child of God. All my life, I am going to be learning, and so will you. And the glory and the wonder of it all is God will do that. He will teach you, and he may admonish you. And if I'm a decent preacher, I might also admonish you. I'm going to urge you earnestly to pay attention and earnestly seek God, that you can be a reflection of him. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, we're doing the word, number one, and we were, what? With one another with psalms. What? Psalms? Yeah, psalms. Better is one day in your court than thousands. Psalms 84. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Psalm 118. They didn't have the written word back in the day, but they had Psalms, and they had Proverbs and a bunch of the other stuff. And you know how they memorized it? With song. They taught their children to sing the Bible. And oftentimes you don't know it, but we are singing verses out of the Bible. Why? Because God's word is powerful. It makes sense. It has teaching and even admonishing in it as we sing. Isn't it wonderful? And that's what we're supposed to do with one another. Hey, have you heard that new song? God, you are my God. It's not a new song. I will ever praise you. And you go, hey, that's kind of catchy. Yeah, that's Psalms 118. You know, there's more verses. You want to hear them? We are teaching. We are maybe admonishing because, well, God, you are his God, but you're not really my God. Well, maybe if I started praising you, you could be my God. Teaching. They memorized them, they sang them to give them wisdom, teaching them, admonishing them, encouraging people with the Psalms to lift them up, to bring them to a new spiritual high of honoring God. Well, they didn't just use Psalms, they used hymns. Some older hymns. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold the manner of love the Father has given unto us. Sing it now. That is called the Father of God. That we could be called the sons of God. Amen. John, 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. Wow, I just memorized scripture. How about that? My wife taught all our kids when they did Awana. She always would make little songs out of the verses, did she not? Yes, she did. And the kids would memorize through song. It was a wonderful way to do it. So again, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, this is Ephesians, singing, making melody with your heart, your heart, and your mind to the Lord. It's not entertaining. This is to God. This is who we want to be. We want to have these songs. He says, well, not only psalms and hymns, but what about spiritual songs? What's a spiritual song? Testimonies. A spiritual song says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaiming the good news of His salvation from day to day. So today, you and I are a testimony, a spiritual song of what God is doing. Amen? Can you be a spiritual song? Yes, you can. Who is it? Let them in. They're knocking. Spiritual songs. That's me. How are we going to do that? Singing. With what? Thanksgiving. I will praise the name of God with song and exalt Him with thanksgiving. How about you? My songs are thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving me life. Thank you, God. Come on. Nobody? Anybody? What is that? Hello? It's not me? Is it you? I don't know. Okay, I will give thanksgiving, and it's not just, gosh sakes, it's not just here at church. I hope you sing during the day, during the week, I don't know, and that you make it a habit to worship God on your own, because if you only do it when you come here on Sunday, I have a question. Do you really worship God? Because He's not just here. I'll give you a clue. He's not just here today. He's out there. And He's everywhere. And you can worship Him anytime. What a deal, huh? He is not going to hold you back from worship. Singing with thankfulness again. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. That's enough. In your hearts, in your head, to God, with my soul, I am giving thanks. Are you? Why? All the above. All this and more. Because the peace that you give me, the love you give me, everything that you give me, not that I deserve, not that I've earned, not that I could ever pay for, you have given me. With thanksgiving in my heart. Whatever. In my heart. I am going to worship you in whatever. Now we're in chapter or verse 17. Whatever. That would include what? All. Everything. Anytime. That's kind of like whatever. Whatever. Whatever, you're doing, whatever you're saying, whatever you are, wherever you are. This is where I'm going to admonish you a little bit. What is the deal? Is that better? Stand by. How's that? It's getting there? Whatever, all time, everywhere, anything. Here we go. This is where I might admonish you a little bit, because we're going to look again at Ephesians 4:29. Oh, wait a minute. Let's start here. And again, we are in this book for a reason. We are listening. You are listening to me for a reason. And whether you're here now or out there in TV land, because we do live stream this, and there's a lot of people that can't be here today, especially all those men. Ooh, those men. Think about this now. I tell you that for every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. That's you and me. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's a problem. That's a problem.